Vampire Weekend, and this life preceded by the Electric Light Orchestra and Dio, 8:15, the full English breakfast show. Still waiting to hear that official name of countries that the UK is going to mention in relation to air bridges. The EU, meanwhile, has named 14 countries whose citizens are deemed safe to be let in from the 1st of July, despite the pandemic. But the US, Brazil and China are excluded. The names include Australia, Canada, Japan, Morocco and South Korea. The EU is ready to add China as the Chinese government offers a reciprocal deal for EU travellers. Now, EU border controls have been lifted for EU citizens travelling inside the bloc. Rules for UK travellers are covered separately in the Brexit negotiations. Now, UK nationals are still to be treated in the same way as EU citizens until the end of the Brexit transition period on the 31st of December. Therefore, during that time, UK nationals and their family members are exempt from the temporary travel restriction. The UK is currently negotiating air bridges with several EU member states. So the coronavirus does not totally block summer holidays, the busiest season in Europe for tourism, which employs millions of people. On the current safe list, still likely to be amended, are Algeria, Australia, Canada, Georgia, Japan, Montenegro, Morocco, New Zealand, Rwanda, Serbia, South Korea, Thailand, Tunisia and Uruguay. The EU procedures to formalise the list and criteria by which countries are judged safe or not are to be finalised by midday today. A qualified majority of EU countries, at least 55%, representing 65% of the EU population, have signed off on the list. There were splits between those such as Spain, wanting the boost of tourism but preferring to play safe because they've been hit hard by COVID-19, and others like Greece and Portugal, which depend on tourism but are less scarred by the virus. Of course, Greece announcing yesterday that UK nationals won't be allowed in until at least the 15th of July. And as I say, we're still waiting for that official list of countries covered by air bridges so that people can fly into the UK without having to quarantine or do the same when they come back. Here's this morning's comedy and a little bit of Fry and Laurie today.
So I think it would be useful if we started by your telling me something about your state of mind at the moment. How would you describe it? Would you say you were happy or depressed, confident or unsure of yourself? What words would you use to describe your mood, would you say? Take your time.
Fascinating, absolutely fascinating. Your problem seems to centre around the delusion that you are a psychiatrist and that everyone you speak to is a patient of some sort. This is a rare but not unheard of syndrome.
I think perhaps it'd be helpful now if we talked a little bit about your mother. What are your feelings towards your mother?
Extraordinary, really very intriguing. Now, why mother? Was your mother affectionate towards you when you were small?
Affection, that's interesting. I wonder why you chose that word particularly. I think it would be helpful if you told me at this point, if you can remember, whether or not you were breastfed as an infant.
Already you see we're focusing in on breasts. Good, good. Now, how do you feel about breasts now? Do they frighten you? Because again, this is quite common.
Breasts and fear. Oh, now that is very interesting. Breasts and fear. Fascinating association. Where do you think your father fits into that association?
Right, right. Absolutely classic father. All right, so let's imagine a line, shall we? We have fear at one end, breasts at the other. Now, where would you place your father on that line?
Lines. Now, that is interesting. I may ask you to draw those lines in a minute in something we call a Bender-Gestalt test, which can be very revealing. But lines, let's explore those for a moment. They're very penetrative, aren't they? Very, very thrusting, very male, very masculine. They urge onwards, don't they?
Right, right. So now, at last, the layers are beginning to unpeel. This is very important. So we have breasts, we have fear, we have male, thrusting, penetrative, urging, some sort of psychiatric jargon you've picked up from the Reader's Digest.
Now, I'm going to be really quite firm now, all right? I'm the doctor, you are the patient.
Yes, that's right.
Now, I'm sorry, I want to hear you say it. I want to hear you say, I am the patient.
What was that?
I am the patient.
Good, good, that's a breakthrough. Now that you can say that, now that you can admit it, we can proceed. Excellent.
You are the patient.
I am, you are, perhaps we're all patients.
No, I am not a patient.
Now, please remain calm, Mr. Windrush.
Dr. Windrush.
Now, you realise that I only have to lift this phone, you will be restrained.
Yes, hello?
Yes, it's all right,
don't
Rebecca,
worry,
I'm in a session.
Rebecca, we're in the middle of a session.
Don't worry about it.
There's nothing to worry about.
Now, look, I can't help you unless you stop playing this ridiculous game.
Extraordinary. I don't think I've ever come across a more deeply embedded illusion.
It is not an illusion.
Your last doctor tried you on a course of Lentizol, I believe. Did you find that helped at all?
All right, let's go right back to the beginning, shall we? If you are, as you think, a doctor.
Well, I'm sorry, that's the full hour, Mr. Windrush. Should we say same time next week?
Yes, I think I can fit you in same time next week. Perhaps for the next session you could bring some photographs of your parents. That might be useful.
Yes, I think I might try you on a course of hypnosis next time.
And if you'll just confirm that appointment with Rebecca on the way out. Thank you.
Oh, you're both here. Well, I think I'm seeing you first, Mr. Windrush. Would you mind waiting outside, Mr. Johansson? You're a little bit early. Rebecca, two teas, please.
Extraordinary.
So deep-seated.
Simply fascinating.
Well, juices down, Mrs. Medlicott. Mr. Johansson was just on his way out. I'll finish my session with him.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Very well, thank you. Nice to be with you.
Yeah, you sound better on a Tuesday than you do on a Monday for some reason. I wonder why that is.
I'm more hyped up, more into the week already, you see.
Really? Do you like Tuesdays?
I don't mind Tuesdays, to be honest with you. I don't mind any day of the week. I'm ready for it. Monday's normally a big day, to be honest with you. So normally I think I'm energised on a Monday, I have to say. But if you think my levels are lower than they should be, I will address that in future weeks.
Are you going to the pub on Saturday?
Super Saturday, isn't it?
Of course.
Doing my duty. I can't say I will, to be honest with you, no. But there are some fears exactly how it's going to play out and what exactly it's going to mean in terms of social distancing. Alcohol, pubs opening for the first time doesn't suggest the perfect combination for dealing with a pandemic, it would seem to me.
There shouldn't be any problems in Cobham, though, should there?
It'll be fine here. We're quite a reserved part of the world.
Apart from the Chelsea footballers.
Maybe they'll be playing, so I guess they won't be out on Saturday.
Okay, Dominic Raab, will he be popping down the local for a quick one, do you think?
I can't speak for the Foreign Secretary's plans on Saturday, it has to be said, but if he's available, it would be nice to catch up with him.
That'd be enough to scare anybody away, wouldn't it? Okay, markets, quite a good day yesterday, despite all the gloom and doom around. Coronavirus cases are rocketing in the United States.
Yeah, the real battle continuing to take place between, of course, the coronavirus and recovering economic data. And that's what's influencing markets. Yesterday was a positive day. US data showed contracts to purchase previously owned homes surged in May in the United States by the most on record, way ahead of forecasts, up 44.3%. So along with the resilient labour market numbers we've been seeing, rebounding in retail sales, consumer spending figures suggest the US economy is emerging from the recession with conviction. However, in the backdrop, as you were saying, the dark clouds of a rising number of coronavirus infections looms large and continues to threaten to undermine the speed of the recovery. Boeing shares were a good performer yesterday, surging 6% this after US aviation regulators approved a critical set of test flights on the 737 MAX. Remember, this is a plane that's been grounded for 15 months after those two deadly flights. And technology rebounded yesterday, Facebook recovering losses despite the list of advertisers boycotting social media companies over their inability to control hate speech and misinformation grew. But pretty positive across the board. European shares up 0.9%. S&P 500 was up 1.4%. NASDAQ was up 1.2%. We are looking at a stronger start on the European bourses this morning. Currently calling FTSE up 25 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 89 points. CAC in Paris up 29 points.
The pubs won't be opening in Leicester on Saturday. That's a fairly alarming development, isn't it?
It's an alarming development. So I think this is the nature that we're going to see of the response from officials as we go through this process now into the second phase. Regional lockdowns will become, I think, the key to trying to solving spikes that we see. We've seen it in Texas. We've seen it in Florida over the weekend. We saw it in Los Angeles as well. In the UK, there's been a significant spike in as you say, Leicester, and that's resulted in non-essential shops being closed, restaurants and pubs that were due to open at the weekend, that will not happen, and schools will also be closed as well. So I think we're going to have to continually go through this process with parts of the country or individual parts of countries being closed down.
Yeah, well, how's that going to work? I mean, are the police going to sort of set up a ring of steel around Leicester? Because some of the people looking forward to going to the pub on Saturday were saying, well, I'll just go to Nottingham instead.
All of this revolves around an element of social responsibility, to be honest with you. We saw it during the course of lockdown, and people were saying, well, people will still mix and people will do this. The reality was the vast majority of people respected the rules, appreciate they need to work towards a greater goal than their own self-enjoyment. Let's hope that continues to be the case as and when these restrictions are put in place.
Well, you keep saying that, but I didn't see much evidence of social responsibility on the beaches of Bournemouth last week, especially with the tons of rubbish that were left behind afterwards.
Yes, I know you've been somewhat critical of that, and it didn't seem to play well, it has to be said. I mean, the debate is, of course, around how infectious this disease is when you're outside, and coastal breezes and so forth have an effect. But one would suspect, as you say, it isn't ideal. But for the vast majority of people, for the number of weeks that we've been in restrictive conditions, they have been following the rules quite closely.
Boris Johnson will be in the West Midlands today to make his Big Boris Bonanza speech, or is he still bunging a bob for the Big Bong Ben, or Big Ben
that's
Bong?
A lot of alliteration there, isn't there? Very nice. Boris Johnson outlining his big plan today to help Britain bounce back from the pandemic. He's expected to brush aside the need for austerity and promise a ramping up of investment in infrastructure and skills to create jobs, stimulate economic activity and retool the UK workforce in one that echoes President Roosevelt's New Deal following the Great Depression. So what is expected? £5 billion of investment. £1.8 billion is earmarked for schools, 10-year plan for 50 school projects, along with a programme for repairs and upgrades to existing facilities. Money will also be focused on Northern England and the Midlands as part of the levelling up policy, and money will also be made available for hospital maintenance improvements in the road and rail network. The extra spending will come despite record amounts of borrowing during the course of this year that has already pushed the national debt above the size of the economy for the first time since the 1960s.
So the bugging a bob for the Big Boris Building Bonanza, is that what it is then?
It could well be. The question is, of course, how well these projects are executed. It's one thing coming up with a huge infrastructure project that can deliver some long-term objectives around productivity. The question is, of course, especially with big government projects, how well they're executed. Do they come in on budget? How efficient are they at producing the results?
Put Chris Grayling in charge of it, I would. Is Andrew Bailey on board with this?
I think what we've seen actually in the UK has been somewhat of an icon in this regard, is the coordinated approach from a fiscal and monetary policy perspective. Now, clearly it will have an impact on UK's debt prospects and, of course, rising quite substantially. Markets so far seem relatively at ease with that. Demand for UK government debt, along with, of course, other safe haven assets, has been increasing, particularly from investors who are concerned around the economic outlook. But also the Bank of England, of course, are providing a huge amount of liquidity and buyers of government bonds, which is helping to keep interest rates down, which is a key part of the formula.
You don't care. I mean, it's little Henry's going to have to pay it back, isn't it? You know, let's face it.
Well, this is true. It will take some time, and inevitably it's going to result, as we've seen, in higher borrowing, but eventually it will result in higher levels of taxes and lower levels of government spending. So the policy really is to get the economy going, to generate some growth that can generate the tax returns, but eventually, of course, you'll need to see a balancing of those books.
Okay, foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against the dollar coming in at 1.23 this morning. Euro dollar coming in at 1.12. You get €1.095 for your British pound this morning.
Have a lovely Tuesday. Thank you very much.
Enjoy your day, sir.
Yeah, talk to you tomorrow. Hang pots and Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
I'm Rob Harrison with the top stories across the Riviera. Temperatures in parts of the south of France reached 36 degrees on Monday afternoon, but there are no signs of a prolonged heatwave for the time being. Strong winds affecting the Var and areas west of the Cap d'Antibes saw the mercury shoot up, with firefighters on high alert for the risk of forest fires. In Seine in the Var, an area of brush went up on Monday afternoon before firefighters were able to bring the blaze under control. Temperatures are expected to be higher in the Var this week than in the Almaritime, and winds are forecast to be brisk at times, heightening the risk of forest fires. Police in the Var have launched a murder investigation after a man was shot dead in Lavalette on Monday. Authorities say the 24-year-old man was shot in the early hours of the morning at his flat in the Coupien area of the town. Witnesses reported hearing shots fired at 5:20 on the Avenue Pablo Picasso. Judicial police from Toulon are handling the inquiry. A 90-year-old woman has died while swimming off the Flaubert beach in Saint-Laurent-du-Var. The alarm was sounded at 9 a.m. on Monday after the elderly victim was seen in difficulty some 10 metres from the shore. A beach lifeguard and paramedics both attempted CPR but were unable to save her. Health experts say it's not advisable for elderly people to swim alone and wise not to go too far out to sea. And as usual, on the first of the month tomorrow, new prices for some items will come into force. The price of some cigarettes will rise by between 10 and 20 euro cents, while some brands will be between 10 and 20 cents cheaper. In Nice, street parking will be charged again from tomorrow. After having been free for 3 months since the start of the coronavirus crisis, motorists will have to feed the meter between 9 a.m. and 8 p.m. from Monday to Saturday, with a fine of 16 euros for those who don't comply. Gas prices and bank charges are also changing, mostly downwards, and there are changes to partial unemployment regulations, with more responsibility being put onto employers as the government starts to scale back support. In national news today, the former French presidential candidate François Fillon and his wife Penelope have been convicted of fraud by a court in Paris. The court ruled that Mr. Fillon had organised a fake parliamentary assistance job for his wife, which saw her paid more than €1 million for work she never did. He was jailed for 5 years with three suspended and fined €375,000, while Penelope Fillon was handed a 3-year suspended jail term and also fined €375,000. The Fillon's lawyers said they would be immediately appealing the verdicts and described the conditions under which the original trial were held as scandalous. Neither Mr. or Mrs. Fillon have been detained. President Macron has expressed concern over the low turnout for Sunday's second round of the local elections. Figures show the voter participation was only around 41%, down from 62% at the last elections in 2014. Mr. Macron acknowledged the strong performance by the Green Party and its left-wing allies and has promised an environmental response. Europe's papers say the election results are a major blow for Mr. Macron and his La République En Marche party and proves it's failed to establish itself at grassroots level more than 4 years after its creation. It was also a difficult election for the right and far-right parties who saw support slipping across the boards. And France is shutting its oldest nuclear power plant today after 4 decades in operation. The Fessenheim plant, which was opened in 1977, has been slated for closure for some time, and the decision comes as a victory for environmentalists. President Macron finally ruled the plant should close in 2018. The first reactor was shut down in February, and the second will be deactivated today. The process should be completed by 2023, and the plant on the Rhine River near the German border will be fully dismantled by 2040. The French energy provider EDF has estimated the life of all second-generation nuclear power plants to be 40 years.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
Football, there was one game in the English Premier League last night. Here are the details from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello from Colm Harrison at the BBC Sports Centre. Burnley have kept alive their hopes of playing in Europe next season after winning at Crystal Palace in the Premier League on Monday. Ben Mee scored the only goal of the game at Selhurst Park, and Burnley are now up to eighth in the table. Meanwhile, Burnley's Joe Hart says he still has a lot to offer and just needs someone to believe in him. The former England international goalkeeper is being released by the club, where he was the fourth choice keeper at times this season.
I'm so young when it comes to goalkeeping. I'm looking forward to finding the perfect match, whatever that may be. You know, I'm under no illusions that Real Madrid are going to knock my door down and get rid of Courtois and bring me in. But I'm going to play at a good club and I'm going to be a big part of it. And I just need someone to see that, to see past all the, whatever you want to call it, and I'll be ready.
One game in the Premier League on Tuesday with Brighton and Hove Albion at home to Manchester United. A win for 15th place Brighton would take them 6 points clear of the bottom three, while a victory for United would move them to within 2 points of the top four. United are unbeaten in three League and Cup games since the season resumed, but Marcus Rashford is still without a goal since recovering from a back injury. His manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer isn't unduly concerned.
Of course, Marcus has been out for a while, but I think he's looked sharp. And I think Marcus is on his way to his best season ever at Man United. So for me, I'm just looking forward to him to getting more and more minutes. And we can see he'll definitely score a goal soon.
For more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League Update from the home of Premier League football.
Formula One Mercedes will run a new black livery for the 2020 season as a signal to the team's commitment to greater diversity and inclusion in motorsports. Mercedes has had a silver livery since racing started in the 1930s, but the team said the Black Lives Matter movement had shone a searching light on how much we need new measures and actions in the fight against racism. World champion Lewis Hamilton described the move as an important statement, showing that Mercedes was willing to change and improve as a business. Cricket Ben Stokes is set to captain England in the first test against West Indies next week as Joe Root is likely to be missing to attend the birth of his second child. Stokes says if he's handed the captaincy, it won't change the way he plays the game. He said he hoped to set an example in style and commitment. Golf postponements are seen as the most likely outcome for this year's Ryder Cup as the sports bosses continue a series of complex meetings to examine the issue. A decision had been due by the end of this month, but discussions are set to continue into July with no clear signals as to whether the event at Whistling Straits, Wisconsin will go ahead or not. Players are said to be unwilling to play the event behind closed doors, and a postponement until 2021 is seen as the most likely outcome. And in racing, trainer Aidan O'Brien has 7 of the 17 entries for Saturday's Epsom Derby as he seeks an 8th victory in the event. The Oaks and the Derby are taking place behind closed doors and on the same day for the first time. 3 miles of fencing is being erected around the track and public rights of way will be suspended for the day.
The Marine Weather Forecast brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Be safe on the seas with Oyster Yachts.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Al Maritim and the Var, the general situation high pressure, 1,016 millibars over the central Mediterranean. Winds are variable, force 1 to 3. The sea is calm, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean Cap Ferrat, 1,008 millibars. And the outlook for Wednesday, clear skies, force 1 to 3 variable winds, calm seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are variable, force 1 to 3. The sea is calm, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,008 millibars. And the outlook for Wednesday, clear skies, force 1 to 3 variable winds, calm seas and good visibility.
The Marine Weather Forecast brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Crafted by British boat builders since 1973, the best ocean-going sailing yachts in the world. The world is your oyster. Make Oyster your world. OysterYachts.com.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
You can see why they say the Mistral wind drives people mad. Snapped a couple of my tomato plants in half yesterday as well. It's sort of horrible with that sort of really high temperatures and a hot wind as well. It's gone now. Still pretty warm though. Mainly fine light variable winds today. Temperatures 30 degrees on the coast, 31 to 32 degrees inland. Overnight lows 22 degrees on the coast, 18 degrees inland with clear skies. Wednesday and Thursday partially cloudy with some scattered thunderstorms inland tomorrow. Fine on Thursday, a bit windy again, and temperatures picking up. Highs of 27 to 33 degrees. Finally, a landlord whose pub is yards from the Shropshire Powys border is facing the prospect of staying shut within sight of two reopened pubs in England. A Drinkers in Llanmeinec, which is divided by the England-Wales border, will be able to return to the Cross Keys and Bradford Arms on Saturday, but the nearby Dolphin Inn will remain shut until the Welsh Government allows pubs to reopen. The landlord said the situation was quite bizarre. He said, obviously, it's a difficult situation because we're probably one of the only pubs that are on the border with pubs across the road within the same village. They will be opening their doors to the Bradford Arms and Cross Keys, which are both in England, only 50 yards away. The centre of the road is the border, so we won't be allowed to open our doors, and that is quite frustrating. No doubt where all the punters will be going, crossing the border to those two pubs on the English side.